The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Leftovers Day, Tony. You have any Thanksgiving food still left over?
I do. I'm Tony Kornheiser. Nobody wanted to touch the squirrel that I had trapped in the backyard.
Yeah,
No matter how I prepared it, I'm down with that.
I'll do two days. I will go Friday, Saturday, or
Friday Chinese food Saturday.
Leftovers Sunday. I'm not going 3 days in a row. No. I'm not doing that.
I still have.
Not doing it.
I don't like this hat. I may have made a mistake with this
hat. I like the hat. That's cool.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Brandon Staley goes for it. Russell Wilson gets yelled at, and Michigan crushes Ohio State. But we begin today with the Cincinnati Bengals winning and their division rivals, the Baltimore Ravens, losing. Cincinnati went on the road and beat Tennessee, a team that had won 7 of its last 8 games. The Ravens lost to Jacksonville on the road after blowing a 2-score fourth quarter lead. Wilbon, which team do you like in the AFC North now? Now.
Tony, you know, historically for me, it's not going to be Cincinnati. And you know my skepticism historically of Cincinnati and San Diego by whatever city they're known. The Chargers, because they're going to take a nap. And the moment you count on Cincinnati, they're going to disappoint you, kind of like Kyrie Irving. So I want to say Baltimore. But, Tone, we've watched them blow double-digit leads in every loss they have this season. And they blow double-digit leads late. I mean, it's not like they're, you know, sort of down 10-0 early. No, they're up late in these games. You just mentioned that. So this is really tough for me. I mean, I do believe in Lamar Jackson, but defensively they got to show me some more. I know you're big on Burrow, who I think has earned that now.
But, Tone,
I'm going to go with Baltimore. I'm going to think that Coach Harbaugh and that veteran staff and that team with certain star players, that they're going to keep trying and knocking until they get it right. I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, so I like Cincinnati because I like Joe Burrow a lot. Ja'Marr Chase has been out for 4 games now, and Cincinnati has won the last 3 in a row. They're doing this year what they did last year, which is closing. You know, I think beating Tennessee in Tennessee
is impressive.
A real big
that
win.
That was impressive.
And Baltimore has a problem. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson is the problem because I would like to have Lamar Jackson. But Baltimore has been in the red zone 9 times in the last 2 games. They only have 3 touchdowns. And Lamar Jackson is only 2-for-10 and 17 yards passing in the red zone in those trips. And they are habitually giving up big leads late.
That's the big problem.
They did it shockingly with Miami. They did it with the Giants. And they just did it with a 3-7 Jacksonville team. And let me just say this, Mike. Everything that I watched all weekend long in pro football starting on Thursday, the most impressive, most notable thing I saw was Trevor Lawrence acting like a number 1 overall pick. 2 drives in the fourth quarter resulting in touchdown passes. 75 yards in, I think, 14 plays once. And then without any timeouts, 75 yards in 8 plays in a minute 48. And then the 2-point conversion. And by the way, we've talked about this. I definitely agree with going for the 2-point conversion.
Late, yes.
Because they're a 3-7 team.
Yeah.
What are they, saving
it for? Be careful. You can't have
it
both ways. Trevor was good. He's coming along like you expect the overall number 1 pick to do. But what you going to do? You're going to credit him or you're going to blame the Ravens defense? You got to pick one.
Okay.
I'm going to blame the Ravens defense. And they got to get over it, Tone. You're right. Look, if they can't hold these leads, Lamar Jackson doesn't have to score in the red zone when you've got a 2-score lead. And they can't hold it. So let's move.
By the way, just to interrupt for a second, since that's the name of the show. From the angle on Justin Tucker's kick, I thought it was good.
I thought he was good.
I mean, I'm looking from behind.
5 yards short.
I thought he had it.
Yeah, just short.
Wow.
Just short. You expect him to make it because he makes everything. Let's move to the AFC West then, which has largely failed to live up to some people's breathless offseason predictions. The Chiefs are the exception at 9-2 now after beating the Rams for Kansas City's 5th straight win. The Chargers crept back above .500 as Brandon Staley went for two against the Cardinals with the game on the line, and he got it. The Raiders got 303 yards. Yes, 303 from scrimmage from Josh Jacobs and their overtime upset of the Seahawks. And Russell Wilson, he got an earful from defensive tackle Mike Purcell as the Broncos fell to 3-8. Tony, your AFC personal headline is what?
Yeah, I was one of those people like the late, great Jerry Lee Lewis who was breathless about that division.
You were nuts about that
division.
I thought
they were better than every division, and I thought it was because of their quarterbacks. Let me just say that it's easy for me to pick. Josh Jacobs, 303 yards from scrimmage, with two touchdowns, including an 86-yard walk-off touchdown in overtime. That is stunning. That's the eighth most yards from scrimmage in the history of the NFL. Okay, that's a bigger headline than Kansas City winning, because Kansas City wins a lot. It's a bigger headline than your boy with the Chargers going for two, because he goes
for two a lot.
He goes on fourth down all the time.
He walks out of the shower.
He's Wild Bill Hickok.
Yeah.
But if you ask me honestly, if you tell me that a lineman on Denver yelled at Russell Wilson, because Denver was allegedly, Mike, before this season began, everybody said Denver had everything in place except a quarterback.
No, except
they get
coach.
A Hall of Fame quarterback. Well, they get a Hall of Fame quarterback. They pay him $245 million, and they have him until 2028, and he stinks this year. They stink. They're 3-8. They've lost 7 out of 8 or something like that. They have the worst offense in the entire NFL, and Russell Wilson, if my numbers are correct, is the 29th-rated passer. He's got 8 touchdowns in 10 games and 5 picks. And you want to say, what happened? You're better than this?
I'm not dumping all this at Russell Wilson's feet. I mean, I'm not. I mean, and on Sundays, nobody dumps anything at the feet of the coaches, the head coaches, because that's not what the analysts do on Sunday during game broadcasts, as if they're afraid of them. They don't want to blame the coaches. Well, let me blame the damn coach, okay? The guy in Denver shouldn't even have been the coach. I'm not saying he shouldn't be a coach. I'm sure he's got fine credentials, got fine credential bloodlines, all right? Tony, he's dreadful. That situation, that team, all of it, from the way they conduct themselves to play calling to schematically, they're dreadful. He is probably going to be fired. By the way, Brandon Staley, I don't know how long he's going to stay around if they don't make the playoffs. Seems Sean Payton has his eyes set on that job. But don't tell me about Denver unless you start not with Russell Wilson, who's been bad, but the head coach. Start there.
He's been bad, too. Bad.
Even worse. Real bad.
Let's move to college football, where Michigan went into the horseshoe and pounded Ohio State in the second half. Big play after big play after big play. USC had a convincing win over Notre Dame. LSU, Oregon, and Clemson all gagged like dogs, and TCU stayed unbeaten. Wilbon, what does this do to the college football season?
It didn't do anything. It just sort of sets it up for what it should be. The college football season was not set up by votes or controversy. It's set up by wins and losses. And the only team I sort of feel bad for a little bit, is Alabama. Because they go on the road and they lose two games in tough road situations on the final play, one of which they even partially blocked a field goal, and they're done unless somebody loses. So, this is the way it's set up. And I told you Saturday, I called you multiple times Saturday, because I knew you were going to defend Ohio State, which is ironic because I'm the Big Ten guy here, and I know I screamed at you over and over. I don't want to hear from Ohio State. They got roasted at home. They didn't lose by a field goal. They didn't lose by a controversial pass interference penalty. They got punked and beat down by the school up north. Are you kidding me? Don't want to hear Ohio State. Don't want to hear it. Michigan, good for them.
You're just going to have to hear it. You're going to have to hear it for about 30 seconds. First of all, I think we can both agree that if TCU beats Kansas State, they will be undefeated, and they are guaranteed to be in the playoffs.
Yes.
I can make the case to you, Mike, that even if they lose, I can make the case to you as a one-loss team
should be in.
That TCU's body of work over the entire year is so good that they should be in.
Agreed.
But the big question is it going to be USC? If USC beats Utah and wins the Pac-10 championship, is it going to be USC or is it going to be Ohio State? So Ohio State is going to say this. Our one loss is to the team that is now number two in the country, Michigan. And USC's one loss is to Utah, which is now ranked 12, but it ain't ranked 2.
At Utah, not in the horseshoe like dogs.
That's
right. No, Ohio State.
What I'm going to say, wait. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I would pick USC. Because if USC beats Utah and avenges its one loss and wipes that slate clean, then they ought to go. To me, USC would be the team to go. What I wonder about is if, you know, the people in that room, the coaches and the ADs, whoever is in that room.
They better not.
Do they think locally or do they think globally? Because they have a chance, Mike, to have a Midwestern team, Michigan, a Southern team, Georgia, a team from Texas, and a team from California, and that should be what they want college football to look like.
I don't care about that's a night you set that up well. I don't give a damn about any of that. Southern Cal, first people ought to want to see them, all right? Because their quarterback, Caleb Williams, was a complete and utter superstar on Saturday night, all right? So they need to avenge that loss, and they will. They'll beat Utah this time. And I don't want to hear.
Yeah, if they lose, it's over.
Tony, Ohio State got smacked around at home by Michigan. And now they want to fire their coach. People wanted to fire Harbaugh 2 years ago. Now you can't say anything bad about Harbaugh. He's beaten us. He's beaten them twice.
The second half. This is the most important game on Ohio State's schedule.
Yes.
The second half at home, they lost 28-3. Let's take a break.
Get him out of here.
Coming up, would the Packers be smart to sit Aaron Rodgers and play your boy, Jordan Love?
And could the NFC East get all four teams into the playoffs? I'm going to shock you and defend that position. Kevin Warren, my friend in the commish, he's going to kill me because I'm going against the conference. Kevin, I'm sorry.
You don't want Ohio State in.
No! No!
You don't want to win.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Bullet, part of Happy Hour.
It's time to find out what's on the minds of old people with AOL email addresses.
Nobody.
Just like me,
nobody.
Old and AOL.
Like you and Charles.
Let me see what's
you guys
first.
Are the only people in
I need
America.
Glasses, because whoever writes this doesn't know how to write. Would the Packers be wise to shut down Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the season and play Jordan Love?
Yeah, Tony, I'm beginning to think so. And, of course, that's self-serving since the Packers play the team they own, the Bears, this coming weekend. But you know what? If the ribs are indeed seriously cracked, broken, punctured, whatever, don't put Aaron Rodgers through that. You got to figure out whether Jordan Love can actually play before you get to the end of the season and have to evaluate free agency, trades, draft. So it may actually make more sense. That block was so stupid, they should have penalized that goofball for throwing that block. But, Tony, I'm going to say, yeah, put him in there. He looked really good in that one drive where they went down the field and scored. I'd put him in the game.
Mike, you moved up to the first round to draft this guy as a successor to Aaron Rodgers. Now you have an opportunity to see what you got. Why are you keeping him on ice? Green Bay stinks right now. They're not going to make the playoffs.
No, they're
no good. And I have to tell you, I'm beginning to get Aaron Rodgers fatigue in the same way that I have LeBron James fatigue. He's a great quarterback. He's going to the Hall of Fame. If I had to pick one guy out there right now to throw one pass for my life, I would pick Aaron Rodgers. But like LeBron James, these are people that we've come to love. We think that they're great, but they can't by themselves make their teams better. The Lakers stink. and the Packers stink. And the fact is, Mike, that the future of the Green Bay Packers is not Aaron Rodgers.
It's
and the future of the Los Angeles Lakers is not LeBron James.
Well, Tom,
so it's okay to do this now.
I agree
with
you. And I'm going to tell you something else. And this is going to be blasphemous because we're talking about the GOAT now. Tom Brady's in that category in that those three guys, they can still have great performances, Tony, but they can't dominate.
Yeah.
They can't impact the game the way they
used to.
And it's no shame. The three of them combined are 207 years old. They are among the greatest of all time. But it's you know, I'm with you on the fatigue.
I like this question. Do you see all four NFC East teams, the I-95 Carter and Dallas, making the playoffs?
Yeah, Tony, I think so, because you go to the Central, it's only going to be the Vikings. You go to the South, it's only going to be the winner, which it looks like Tampa, and they're not any good. They're not going to – there's no role
That's
for them to get on. People need to slow their roles. It'll only be them. And out West, it's probably only going to be San Francisco, although Seattle is a game of a 500, and they could eke in, and they could edge out if the Giants or – Commanders, by whatever name, slip up, they could take the place of that fourth team in the NFC East. But I think, actually, I think all four of them will make it. I think the Commanders, there's something about them that's actually worth liking. Not the organization, but the team on the field.
So I'm going to give you Philly and I'm going to give you Dallas. I really thought that the Giants needed to win on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas to save their season. They're 1-3 in their last four games, and they're trending the wrong way.
Yeah.
Let's look. I think we could agree you got to go 10-7, except for the team from that rancid division.
Right.
You got to go 10-7 to get in. So both the Giants and Washington, they need three more.
That's a split.
The Giants have the Eagles twice, Ooh. Washington twice, the Ooh. Vikings and the Colts. I think they need to beat Washington twice because that's hard. You think that's hard? Washington has the Giants twice, San Francisco, Dallas, and Cleveland with Deshaun Watson. So I think they're going to have to beat the Giants. To me, who if one team gets in, it's going to be because they beat the other head-to-head twice.
Twice.
That's what I think. I don't think three will get in. Enough email.
Splitsville.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, some major college coaching changes.
And Houston basketball accomplishes something the Cougs haven't done since the days of Akeem and Clyde. It's a long time ago.
Those are heavy schedules for those two teams for the last five or six games.
Well, they were front-loaded with bumps.
That's rough.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Chase Elliott. What a great nickname for a NASCAR driver, Chase. His actual name is William Clyde Elliott II. Chase is the son of the great NASCAR driver, Bill Elliott, whose nickname is Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. When Chase won the Cup title in 2020, the Elliotts became the third father and son to do so, following Lee and Richard Petty and Ned and Dale Jarrett. We talk of this a lot, how auto racing is a family business. We could add the Andrettis, the Unsers, the Earnhardts. We've seen this in baseball, Ken Griffey Jr. and Vlad Guerrero Jr., for example, and lately in basketball with Tim Hardaway Jr. and Klay Thompson. But it proliferates in auto racing.
Tony, it proliferates in the NBA, too. I mean, I'm going to go back to, of course, the late, great Kobe Bryant and Jelly Bean, his father, who you knew. Al Horford, Rick, your dear friend, and all the Barry Posse. Bol Bol, Devin and Melvin Booker, Bob and Danny Ferry, Jaren Jackson 1 and 2, Larry Nance, the Riverses, Doc's kids, Wiggins. That's just off the top of my head. There's probably twice that many in pro basketball now.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I didn't realize that. Happy anniversary, Florida Gators. Around this day, 51 years ago, the Gators were trouncing Miami late in the final game of the season when Florida defenders collectively collapsed to the ground to let Miami score. Now, the Gators did this to get the ball back so their quarterback, John Reeves, could get the 15 passing yards he needed to break Jim Plunkett's NCAA career passing yards record, which Reeves did. Miami fans refer to this as the Gator flop. Miami coach Fran Kersey was so incensed, he refused to shake hands after the game with Florida coach Doug Dickey, calling the flop, quote, a Bush League stunt, a disgrace, a pure lack of class,
unquote. Good for him.
In case you didn't know what side he was on.
Man.
Dickey, of course, denied knowledge that the flop was coming.
Of course. Tony, Reeves wasn't as good a quarterback as Spurrier for Florida, was he?
No.
Wasn't Spurrier the better of the two?
No, Spurrier was Heisman.
Heisman winner, yes.
He won the Heisman.
Come on now.
Won the Heisman. Of course he was better. Sure. Not as good as Tebow either. Happy trails to a bunch of college football coaches. After 12 seasons and two Rose Bowl wins at his alma mater, Stanford, David Shaw has resigned. Shaw, 50, steps down after back-to-back 3-9 seasons, but had an overall 96-54 record. Wisconsin has hired Luke Fickle, away from Cincinnati, where he had gone 57-18, including 13-0 and a playoff appearance in 2021. Matt Rhule, who was still owed $40 million by the Carolina Panthers, is back in college at Nebraska, signing an 8-year deal to try and pick up the pieces there. And Arizona State reached out to alum Kenny Dillingham, making him at 32 the youngest head coach in the Power Five.
Wow.
Dillingham was just offensive coordinator at Oregon.
The headliner here to me is David Shaw stepping down, but I would think stepping into a television booth. Tell me you don't think David Shaw is going to be great talking about the game every whatever it is, Saturday or days in between Saturday. He's going to be great at it.
Yes. I think he'll be great, but he's a great coach. I'm sorry he's walking away.
Yeah.
He's a great coach.
Tony, one other note. Hugh Freeze, from all the reporting, seems to be on deck to be named the next coach at Auburn. Hugh Freeze. Really now?
I don't know how you sell that.
Really?
With his past. I don't know how you sell that.
I don't either.
I don't. One omission. Tiger withdrew from this week's Hero World Challenge with plantar fasciitis, but he still plans to compete in the match on December 10th on the PNC Father-Son Championship on December 17th and 18th
Tiger.
With his boy Charlie, I'm
Tiger.
Assuming.
We do.
Right?
We all want to see Tiger.
Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The Dolphins and the Jets both beat bad teams yesterday. Which was more impressive?
Neither was impressive. I mean, I guess the quarterback of the Jets, your childhood team, Mike White. Are you kidding me? I mean, he throws for an incredible percentage every time he's out there. Why did they draft a quarterback? Just play him. Tom Brady and the Bucs lost to the Browns. You were surprised, weren't you?
I am, because Brady had a lot of opportunities late to go down the field, and he was bouncing it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that same elan he used to have, the joie de vivre. For you French majors, the White Sox have reportedly agreed to terms with your boy Mike Clevinger, but Jose Abreu is heading to the Astros. Which is the bigger deal?
Man, that's a nice acquisition by the Astros. But I mean, Abreu's 35 years old. Clevinger's 32. He can give them three good years, you would think. College Hoops, Houston number one for the first time since 1983. By Slamma Jamma. That's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, I never would have known that. UNC was one. They dropped to 18 after losing twice. What a slide that is.
Yeah.
Last one, your Warriors have won three in a row. They're back above 500. Is the crisis over?
Yeah, Tony. Wiggins and Klay Thompson are getting it done. Nod to them. I think it's over. I think the Warriors are straightened out now.
We're out of time. We will try to do better the next time. Happy birthday yesterday to the socialite.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now to get you set for Monday Night Football, here's Susie Culver and the Countdown Crew.
So you like this hat?
I like it.
You like it better than the gray hat and the tan hat, which are coming up
like
here
that.
In the on-deck
circle. Like that
circle.
Hat you got on today.
You do, really?
Yeah.